You know, for a while, just before we went into Mexico, I believe it was, we started the teaching just a little bit on the book of Revelation, and we were kind of moving through it a little bit along. And then we left off for just a little bit, and I really think about the book of Revelation a lot because it's such a great, tremendous book. We ministered the other night some from the book of Revelation. We didn't get to detail as many things as I would like to have talked about, but we did have a few things concerning the bride of Christ as to the city of New Jerusalem of the 21st chapter. We're right on the verge of the destruction that the Bible speaks of in Revelation 18 and 10. Right on the verge of it, of the great fall of Babylon. This world is a Babylon. Nobody knows anything about anything anymore. The other day we was trying to get some information about the plane, and we called so many people, and like Mexico, we got paperwork over here and paperwork over there and paperwork here and different places. And when we got through, they sent us to Washington like they did in Mexico, to Mexico City. And then they sent us back to Atlanta and just here and there and everywhere. And nobody knows anything about anything. And it's just one big Babylon. That's all it is. And you can't find out nothing about nothing no more. And we're right on the verge of the fall of Babylon. The great Babylon is about to fall. So in that Babylon is about to fall, and that means that the kingdom of God has to be coming in. And we need to remember one thing, and that is that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. There's no need of looking for some coming of the Lord up in the heavens. In the sense of the kingdom of God, there's no need of doing it. The Jews missed it because they did that. And the Gentiles is going to miss it because they are doing that. God is a spirit. And the Bible said the kingdom of God cometh not by looking for it. You'll never see it with these eyes. Paul, on the way to Damascus, Paul was struck down. His eyes was blinded just from the light that came from the presence of the Lord Jesus. So you can be sure that if the light that come from the presence of the Lord Jesus blinded Paul, then it's for sure that your eyes are not going to see the kingdom of God coming. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe that I can see it. Well, that's fine. If you believe that, that's fine. I mean, that's what you believe. But now I'm a preacher and I'm here to preach to you what it's going to be like. Now that's your belief. That's all right. But I'm here to tell you about the kingdom of God, that when it appears, the Bible said that the earth shall flee away, and the Bible says the mountains shall flee away, and the Bible said there shall be no place found for the ocean. It shall flee away. So I got a feeling that you ain't going to have a leg to stand on when all that happens, if you was able to be there. But you can be for sure that there won't be any of you and any of me. When the kingdom of God comes, it is so great and so mighty, the Ancient of Days shall set, and all of the world shall flee away from his presence. So then the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is a revelation, and the kingdom of God is not something that you go into. The kingdom is something that you inherit, and it comes into you. I know the Bible tells us that we press our way into the kingdom of God in the sense that our inner spirit is translated into the kingdom of God. But as to your mortal body, the kingdom of God must come into your spirit within your mortal body. Or that is, spirit must inherit spirit, for the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't see the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood was not made for the kingdom of God. So there'll be no flesh and blood mixed with the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit, and as you born the image of the fleshly, so shall you bear the image of the heavenly. And if you're looking for some earthly benefit out of it to the extent that the kingdom of God's going to come, you might as well forget it, because there will be no days like that. They said to Jesus, they said, look, if you're all this powerful and you're the Messiah and all these things is going to happen, when are you going to set up the kingdom? He said, you're all mixed up. You're all mixed up. He said, the kingdom of God will never be like that. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. He said, the kingdom of God is within a man. And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. It is a revelation. It is a declaration. It is something that you preach. The kingdom of God is preached. And the Bible said, and men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. That is, Enoch was translated by faith into the kingdom of God, that he should not see death. And we are translated, the Bible tells us, into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And the kingdom of God is within us. So then the kingdom of God, it has come, since the law and the prophets has been folded up and done away with. Now is come Christ in your heart, which is the kingdom of God. All that God is, all that God ever was, all that God shall ever be was in Christ. And that Christ is within you. That's God's kingdom, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the law and the prophets prophesied of the coming of this Christ. And now they have come as far as Calvary. It's folded up with the body of Jesus, laid away. And now the Christ, which is the kingdom of God, is coming to you. And the Bible said that Philip and the others down in Samaria, different places, they preached the kingdom of God. And there was great joy in that city, for they preached two things, and that was the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God. That men should be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the kingdom of God. And that's the way that they did it. And the kingdom of God was the Holy Ghost, the Christ Spirit. So they preached the name of Jesus, be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the Christ Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, even the kingdom of God shall come inside of you. And if you have not this kingdom of God, which is the Christ Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory, you don't have any chance at all. No matter how much of a believer you are, it doesn't have anything to do with it. So then when I talk about it, I get real excited, because I love the kingdom of God and the wonderful things of the kingdom of God. I want to read just a little bit here concerning the things of God. We've spoke of this before. In the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that walketh and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Okay, we dwelt on a few things here. In the fifth verse of the 15th chapter, it said, And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Remember that now. We read it to you before. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. I want to remind you again, we brought this out not too long ago in a message, but I want to remind you again that the Bible says, and the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony was open. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony was open, which means that the testimony was in the temple. Which temple was in the tabernacle? Remember, Moses made the tabernacle. He made it out of skins. He made the tabernacle. And the Bible said that inside of this tabernacle, there was a little 10x10, or there was a curtain put up that partitioned part of this tabernacle off from the rest of it, or the temple that was. It was in the tabernacle. Partitioned it off, and within this little temple that was in this tabernacle, there was the testimony of the covering cherubs and the Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat. So then inside of this tabernacle, there was the little curtains that was pulled across at one end of it, and that part of it was called the temple, and behind the curtains of the cherubs, there was this little ark made out of gold and beaten work. And there was the mercy seat. And there was the covering cherubs with their great beautiful wings reaching out tip to tip over this ark of the covenant. Inside of this ark there was The bread that came down from heaven, the manna. The hidden manna that came down from heaven. It was in a little golden pot that was in this temple. And then there was the testimony or the engraving in the stones of Moses that was there. And this was considered the great place of God as it had moved in the days of Moses. The great place of God on the mount to where these stones was. And when the fire of God came, when the judgment came and the lightnings came, that indicated the temple of God, the great place of God. And now here it was in a little ark. And these covering cherubs are these curtains was there in front of this ark. I remind you again that they that moved this ark and they that moved these curtains could never look upon that ark. They had to back up to the curtains, catch the curtains on their shoulder, and in catching the curtains on their shoulder, they had to pick them off of the hooks and back up and lay them on top of the ark of the covenant to never look upon it. Because if a man should look upon it, he would die. He would be killed. So then God continued to move this little tabernacle from place to place. And on the inside of this little tabernacle, or the temple in this tabernacle, was the Ark of the Covenant. Moses was saved in the little ark that was found in the bulrush. Noah was saved in the ark. And the rainbow indicated the covenant of God between the people by means of this man Moses, which was on the mountain, or the body of Jesus, or the ark of Noah, or that is to say the little ark that was inside of the tabernacle, made out of a beaten gold or a beaten work, which indicated the beating of the Lord Jesus with the whip, made out of this, bruised for our transgressions, the Bible tells us that he was. Bruised for our transgressions and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings. And then I explained to you how that Noah, in Noah's day, he so beautifully portrayed this. It was an ark in Noah's day. It was a rainbow in Noah's day. And Noah got drunk as on Pentecost. Noah was drunk off of the new wine, as we say. And this is where his son looked upon his nakedness. And it upset God, and God took his inheritance away from him. And God cursed him. And so then the other two sons, they took the curtain. That is, they took a garment. They took some kind of a sheet, a covering. And they put it behind them, and they backed up. And they did not look upon the nakedness of Noah, but they laid it over Noah so that they would not look upon this thing, knowing that it displeased God. This is why that Brother Pike feels the way he does today about women not wearing the long dresses and people not covering their nakedness. The Bible says that when Adam and Eve fell from the garden, that God covered them with skins. Because they represented that great, wonderful ark of God. They represented the Son of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the second man, Adam. And Adam represented that great ark. Their nakedness. They were pure. They were holy. They were godly. They had no bad thoughts. Their bodies were pure. It was the perfect work of God. And when Satan did what he did, then God covered them with skins. The Bible said you cover with a covering, but your covering is not of God. You have a covering, but your covering is your own intellectual reasoning. It's a veil of darkness. It's the powers of Satan. It's the infiltration of your own intellectual, educational side of life. And the Bible said this covering is not sufficient. It's a veil of darkness. The veil that you have, God said you cover with it, but it's not of God. It's a veil of death. It's a glass darkly that you're looking at God through. It's a veil that must be rent. Calvary took this away. And then there came the Second man, Adam, there came the covering of the Shekinah glory. There came the covering that Adam and Eve had in the garden. In the garden, remember, God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" They were naked, and the Bible said they were not ashamed. But all of a sudden, they became ashamed, and they began to look for something to cover their nudeness. They begin to go to the trees and they begin to make leaves and put fig leaves together or some kind of leaves together so that they could cover their body because they were ashamed. And then when God sought them, he could not find them. And they said, "We were ashamed to be in your presence, God. And so we hid ourselves." Such is the case today. You're hid from God. You're lost from God. God said, "Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam?" You're lost from God. You're hiding from God. You're running from God because you're naked. You're not clothed with the Shekinah glory of his grace. You feel under condemnation. You feel naked. You feel dirty. You feel at enmity with God. For the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God, and your covering is a carnal mind. It's a love for the things of this world, because Satan is the prince of this world, and he savors the things that be of the flesh. And so then you're naked, and God is saying, "Adam, where art thou?" That is, in Adam all die. In the first man, Adam, all die. You're naked in the first man, Adam. You're born to the first man, Adam. And you're naked. You're without the garment of God. You don't have the body of the Lord Jesus. God said, "I made thee in the image of my Son. For in the image of God made he male and female. In the image of God I made you. I gave you a covering." The covering was the image of God, the Shekinah image of the Word. And you've lost the image of the mind of the Word. My mind, the Word, God, you've lost that image. You're not covered with that. You're under condemnation. You're filled with shame. And so then God said, "I'll make you a garment, but it'll be the garment of a beast. I'll make you a garment, but it's the garment of the beast." Today, when we are not born again, when we're not children of God, then what are we? We are a beast. We have on a skin. We have on a covering. That covering is a beast skin. We're like the beast. When science experiment, they say you're a mere beast. That's all that you are. And that's what's wrong with us today. All of you are beast. Just beast. That's all. Everyone that is not a predestinated son of God, everyone that's not born again, will automatically have the mark because they are beasts. Some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So then we who have the new birth, we who accept the new covering, we that look to the second man, Adam, we go back to our originality, we go back to sonship, we go back to the covering of the Shekinah glory of God, we go back to putting on the garment of God. The Bible said, "Zion, put on your holy garments." And we go back to our beautiful garments. We go back to being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We go back to being put out into the water in the name of Jesus. We go back to accepting this body of the Lord as many as been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. That is to say, my innermost spirit being baptized in the Holy Ghost, even the Christ spirit, my spirit is put on Christ. And I'm baptized in the name of the Lord as under water. Signs say that the body is mostly water. So to be baptized into his death, to be baptized into his body, is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this is the beautiful garment. And if we go without the garment and come into the presence of God, we'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. So then, Zion, where is your beautiful garment? He said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam was lost, and Adam was over there trying to cover up his nakedness. You know, the world today feels ashamed. You go to talk to them, they'll say, "I'm uneducated. I don't know nothing. You know, I'm shy. I shy away because I don't know nothing. You're brilliant. You've got all the diplomacies, you know." And they take the backside of life, and they run off, and they're timid, and they feel naked, you know. And then somebody says, "We'll run you through school. We'll put you through college. And then you won't feel naked then. Why, you'll be just as bold. You'll come up in the face of people and you'll say, I am a graduate from college. And you'll be bold and you won't feel ashamed anymore. But you see, God has something else. God has His Word. God doesn't want those things. Those things are foolishness to God. And God doesn't like that. Not many mighty people are called, the Bible said. So then God tells us that He chooses the foolish and abase things of the world, that He might endow them with the great knowledge of God, and that He might confound those people that seem to be somewhat in the world. So then we see that God has a garment, the same garment that said, Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat thereof. You had this garment, you had My Word, you had the Word of creation, you had the Word that clothed you. You had a garment. You had My garment. You was made in My image. Whereas the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the image of God, the express image of God, or the given image. There is none other image, and we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Maybe we've been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. And so then He says to put on your garment. Put on your garment. Have the wedding garment on, which is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And so then we see that having failed from the righteousness, having failed from their greatness, they became ashamed and they had to cover themselves. So then the cherubs are their covering. Once man failed, there was only one covering for the tree of life off of the garden, and that was the cherubs. The cherubs were put at the gate, and there they stood with their flaming swords, and they challenged mankind, you cannot come to this tree of life. You cannot get into this beautiful garden. You cannot come into the kingdom of God anymore. You're cut out. You're shut off because you're dirty. You're unclean. You're infiltrated. You went to the tree of knowledge, and now you cannot come to the tree of life. So then the cherubs were put there. And when they built the Ark of the Covenant, and when they built the temple, everything according to the pattern in heaven, when they put the temple and the tabernacle, they put this temple and the tabernacle, and they put these covering cherubs. And then they put the curtains, the veil with the covering cherubs over it. And you could not go beyond those cherubs because they guard the garden of God. They're the powers of the garden of God. That's why that the ministry is set there, and the Bible says they are set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And they are God's covering cherubs to the extent that they are a flame of fire. The Bible teaches that the ministry is a flame of fire. Judgment begins at the house of God. They remit your sins and they retain your sins. They take away your sins. They're the ones that do it. They're set there for the perfecting of your faith. And it is the ministry of Christ that God has given. You must pass through the ministry. You must pass through this word to be able to get into the garden of God. They can remit your sins. They can baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, fear, for they are set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Will you then not be afraid? But if you do that that's right, then they're there to bless you. Whoever you bless will be blessed. Whoever you curse will be cursed. Believe My prophets and prosper, He said. So then we see that when Adam fell from the garden, he lost the image. He lost the Shekinah image in which he was made. He lost the covering. He was in the garden. He was the Son of God. But when he lost this image, when he lost this covering, he lost life. See, Adam did not have eternal life. Eve did not have eternal life. They were only in the presence of eternal life. They were covered with the Shekinah glory of God that gave them everlasting living as long as they abode within the light. Jesus said, if you abide within the vine, then you're all right. But if you don't abide within the vine, God will cut you off, and then you'll wither up, and men will gather you to throw you into the fire. Once you are not rich with the Spirit of God, once you're not rich with the water of God, once you're not rich with the sap of God, then men, you're cut off, and men gather you to throw you into the fire. So then we see that this was the covenant of God. This was man and woman. This man and woman was the covering cherub. They come together from one side to another. They belonged one in one.
And within this was the production of life and the reproduction of life as to children. They were the covering cherubs. They were the ones, Christ and the church, the body of Jesus on one side of Calvary and Christ on the other side of Calvary. They're the covering cherubs. And Lucifer had infiltrated the woman, thus becoming a covering cherub. That is a great light he has been. That great light in heaven. And then he fell from his lofty state. Adam fell from his lofty state. Lucifer fell. The head of the serpent went out. And all of a sudden, in Adam, all die. A generation of vipers all the way from Calvary back to the garden. John laid the axe to the root of the tree, cut down that tree of knowledge all the way back to the garden. And then from there came the beginning of the creation of God, or the second man Adam, or that is to say Adam came again as the Son of God. That is, the covering came, the image came, the originality came, and today God beckons to you and I again that we might be within the image of the act of God, that we might be back in the originality of God, that we can come back to the things of God, and we can be found in the glory and light of God. And Satan is cast out. The darkness is gone. That dark light the Bible speaks of. That one that was rejected from God, turned away from God, he's gone out. He's not in the human body anymore. As to those that are born again, only in the world, only in the things of the world, only in sinners, only in those that reject Christ, he dwells within them. But we're free from him. See, and God has given us the covering cherubs, Christ within our heart. David said, his staff, his rod, they comfort me. That is to say, I have the rod which is his word, even the Lord Jesus Christ, that died for my sins. And I have the staff which is the Holy Spirit, even the revelation of his word within my heart. And these beautiful covering cherubs on the inside of me. That is to say, I as that which am made into the Christ spirit. It is Jesus, it is Christ on the inside of me as the masculine. It is my spirit on the inside as that which is the female. And so then the feminine and the masculine are there together. And they're on the inside, and the powers of reproduction is to reproduce the image of God. Paul saying that I travail till Christ be former than you. And through this wonderful mating together and coming together on the inside, we're made to be that which produces life. When the Spirit comes, we produce life, for we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. We're not the body of the first Adam. We're not the body of the infiltrated. We're not the body that Satan mates with out yonder in the world to reproduce his bastard image under sports and under the gullible things of this world and the desire of this world and the preeminence, trying to be dignitaries in the world and seeking honor one of another. We're not that. But we're the body of the Lord, and the great Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And he reproduces his image, and we preach the gospel. We testify of the gospel. We travail in fasting and in prayer, seeking the knowledge of God. And suddenly, when Zion travails, the Bible said her sons and daughters are born into the kingdom. So then it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be filled with the glory of God and filled with the things of God and have God within your heart. We look at this, and the Bible said, and the temple of the tabernacle was open. There was Adam and Eve. God put them on skins. So we find Moses making the tabernacle out of skins. Moses make all things according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. And so then Moses, going up into the mind of God, Moses looked and saw the Garden of Eden. Moses looked and saw the act of creation. And Moses saw all of these great things from the beginning. No other man had never seen it. No other man could write about it. We wouldn't not have had a book concerning it had not Moses went up into the heavens and looked back through time and saw this wonderful thing of God, of the act of God in Adam and Eve, and all of the things that took place, and Moses penned it or he wrote it. And he gave us the books concerning all of these wonderful things that he had seen. So God said, Moses, according to what you saw in the garden, according to what you saw of Adam and Eve, according to what you saw in the Spirit, according to what you saw in the heaven, write it down now. And said, make all things according to this in the earth. And so then he saw God put them on skins. He saw that great Shekinah glory. He saw God veil it. He saw in a typical thing, Jesus coming as human skin. Jesus coming as a human image. Jesus coming as the fallen one of Adam, that he might give that body, that it might be smitten, that that veil of humanity might be rent. But the Bible said he's made a more sure way to enter the kingdom of God, that is to say, by the rending of the veil of his own human body. For God made himself a body, veiled himself in darkness, come down to Calvary, and there he rent the veil of the human being, even the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let the Shekinah image that he had in the originality, let it step out as Christ, the great wonderful Christ in the inner man, the beginning of the creation of God. That is to say, that great image returned in the beginning of the creation of God are the first fruits of them that slept. It came to pass at Calvary that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Delivered for our offenses to Calvary, revived, raised again from the grave for our justification. Finding that the temple of the tabernacle that was in heaven, it opened up. Jesus was that great, wonderful tabernacle of God. For the Bible said the tabernacle of God is among men. And Jesus was the great tabernacle of God. He said, Jesus, in whom I am well pleased, or in whom I am pleased to dwell, the original tells us. So then Jesus, the fullness of God, tabernacled in Jesus. God, the great Father, in his fullness, tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus, walked in the earth. And the Bible said he was in the world, and the world knew him not. The Bible said to as many as believed in the name of the Father that Jesus manifested, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That is, by faith he entered into that great wonderful world, and we by faith enter into the great wonderful kingdom of God. Well, God has by faith translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. That is to say, the inner man is now one with the great Spirit of Christ. We've been born again, this time out of the Spirit of Christ. One time we was born to the spirit of the first man, Adam. And today, being dead by the body of Jesus to that life, because all die in Adam, now it's been taken away. And now we are raised again and resurrected, and we are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Well, that is to say, my life and my spirit that was in the old tabernacle, back within the wilderness, the human body that's caught within the intellectual wilderness, wandering from the old tree of knowledge, God has taken my spirit out of that tabernacle and put it in the body of the Lord Jesus. And God never again sees that tabernacle. It's dead with the body of Christ Jesus at Calvary. It's buried in the water. And today I'm a new creature walking around. I'm a new tabernacle. I'm a stone of the lively city. And we are that wonderful, wonderful new Jerusalem of the lively stones compiled together. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, we are that tabernacle in the earth. Having borne the image of the earthly, so now we bear the image of the heavenly. And we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, but the full knowledge of God, and that God, our God, who is looking at us, in that he is looking down through the end of time. The Bible said all of his works are known unto him from the beginning. God all of a sudden looks down and says, I don't see any more of your past. I don't see any more of your wrongs. I don't see you anymore as your first birth. I don't see you anymore as the Adam that dies, but I see you as bone of my bone, and I see you as flesh of my flesh, and I'm looking out to the end, and I see you enduring to the end. I see you having eternal life. I see you as my own glorified body, complete in the works of Jesus Christ. So then, the covenant, Adam and Eve was naked, and God covered this great, wonderful Shekinah beauty of the perfect man, of the perfect woman. God covered it up, but it was hid. And then the masterpiece was unveiled at Calvary. And that great, wonderful Adam, that perfect body, that perfect man, that new form, the Bible tells us, stepped out, came out of the grave, and there he was, the unveiled masterpiece of God. They saw him, God's masterpiece, God's masterpiece that could not lie. God's masterpiece that could do no wrong. They said, we find no fault in this perfect man. God's masterpiece that they saw for a few days that could never die, that could never sin. God's masterpiece all of a sudden caught up into heaven to be hid away until the day of his reappearing, that he might bring to perfection many sons during the time that this masterpiece was taken away. So today the body of the Lord Jesus Christ come up out of the earth. It came up out of the earth today. It sits there at the right hand of the Father on the throne, a bloody vesture, the perfect, perfect man. And during that time, the Lord Jesus Christ has come back into your heart and into my heart as Aaron officiated within the temple of the tabernacle. So is God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of me and on the inside of you, officiating within this little tabernacle of skin. God is on the inside of the temple part of it, and God is officiating as the great Holy Spirit of Christ, that we might be filled with his presence and with his love and with his joy. God filling my heart and God filling your heart. God coming inside of the temple of the tabernacle, all within my heart in life. God on the inside officiating during the period of time that the body is sitting on the throne. And then at the end of the way, God will take that body and bring it back in Revelation 19. And when God brings it back, a vesture dipped in blood, when God brings it back, then God will also take those that are in the grave and raise them up out of the grave. And God will bring forth those that are in the earth to a change of a perfect man, to where they will not be imperfect anymore or any flaws. God will never find any flaws within their life. There will never be any flaws in their life anymore. They'll be the perfect man. They'll be members of that body, bone of bone, flesh of flesh, of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be the body of Christ. They'll be the body of the church, and Christ will be the head of that great, wonderful city, even the capstone that the Bible speaks of. As Brother Taylor said today, there's a lot of things taking place, and that's what it had to do with. I'm sure that Brother Taylor understands what I'm saying. That's why that we had the baptizing. That's why the Taylors came down and was baptized. That's why that it was Baptist people. That's why that I put on the belt that I did put on for the baptizing. And that's why the different things happened the way that they did happen, with little Joshua and little Promise and some of the others, as the children came out to be dedicated to God. The Bible speaks of the elders dying in the wilderness. They won't listen to you. They've got their own ideas. They've got their own plans. They've got their own understanding. That doesn't matter what you preach. It doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter how you try to instruct them. They don't listen to you. What they do, they listen to their own thinking, and they decide their own way of life. And while you're trying to preach or tell them something, they've got their own thing going in their heart and in their minds, and they have cut themselves off because they are still in Adam. They don't have the revelation and the understanding of this bright light. So they die, and the Bible said they are without the camp, and they are without the city, and they're not allowed to come into this great light. Now, it's a beautiful thing, the light so shined I brought out the other night, the great revelation, the understanding, the light of that great city, the light of the Lamb, the great understanding of God. All of the nations walked in it. All of the nations walked in the light, but it didn't mean they were of the light. You and I are born of the light. Adam and Eve was in the Shekinah of that light. And the image was made, even the image of Christ. Not being born again, they did not get eternal life. That is, they were cut out of the garden. The only way that God preserved them was through the predestination of Christ in our lives. Having died, not receiving the promise, but embracing it and seeing it afar off. Even the promise that God made to Abraham, they were looking forward to it. God had revealed some things to them That's how that Abel offered his sacrifice, a better sacrifice than Cain. A lot of you are offering religious sacrifices, but the only sacrifice that you're offering is your religious convictions and your religious ideology, and you're not offering the blood of Christ. You're offering the old fruit of the natural, even that which God rejects, even the tree of knowledge of your own human reasoning, and God won't have any of that. So then it's your idea, it's your feelings, it's what you want to do, it's where you want to go, it's what you would like to say about it or think about it. But I thank God for one thing, and that is we have Christ, and we have the mind of Christ, and we're going to do it God's way, and the beast will just have to get out of the way, because if they don't, we'll just run right over them. So we're cutting down the tree of knowledge. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Like a sermon we preached for the full gospel businessmen numbers of years ago in California, down in Anaheim, California, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And God is going to cut down every tree that don't bring forth perfect fruit. God is about to unveil His masterpiece. Even the baptism today was a great, wonderful turn of event. I'm glad that I had a chance to be down there. I don't baptize as much now as I used to baptize, but today I felt that I should baptize, and something great took place. I know you don't see that, you don't understand that, I don't expect you to. There's some that's moving into the life. There's some that does understand. There's some that's making an effort to understand. There's some that wants to understand. They want to see this great, wonderful thing. Others are just interested in one thing. The Bible said the serpent is on his belly, and to eat and to drink and to be filled with the things of life in the belly. And you're contented to lay under an air conditioner somewhere or to get off somewhere in your own private little room and eat and drink till the belly's full. You know, that's your life, because God has put you on the belly. But there's one thing about it, folks. We're not on our belly. The Bible said, eat this little book. Eat all of this little book, John. It said it's going to be bitter to your belly. Your belly is going to like it, because the old serpent is on his belly and he isn't going to like this thing. But nevertheless, I thank God, because we who understand are moving into this light. So then the temple of the tabernacle was open. The temple of the tabernacle was open, and when it was open, the great wonderfulness of God was seen within that temple. And there was lightnings and there was thunderings, having been covered from the garden, coming all the way down. Now the veil was rent, and that Jesus had made in himself twain, rending the veil, even the Lord and the Christ within his one being. The Bible said the veil was rent and the Lord part was taken away. The body was buried. It was done away with. That part of infiltration was gone. The Bible said within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. If I'm dead today by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then my body which was infiltrated is gone. My sins are no more. I have no more sins. God took them away. I cannot sin because Christ is on the inside of me. This covenant that God has given me cannot be broken. Somebody might say, well, Brother Pike, I know somebody that broke it. You've never met anybody that ever broke this covenant. This covenant cannot be broken. This covenant is only made with sons of God, those that do not break the covenant, because they cannot break it. They are born of Christ on the inside of. The Bible said they keep themselves, and the evil one toucheth them not. They're without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. They're God's perfect church. They never sin at any time. Never at any time. They never have a spot. They never have a wrinkle. They never have sin. From the foundation of the world, they've never sinned. Before they were ever born into the world, God chose them to be elect and predestinated them unto good works in Christ Jesus. And God never looks at their faults, and God never looks at their trespasses, and God never looks at their wrongs. They are His workmanship in Christ. We are predestinated in Christ unto good works. We are complete in Him. We are God's great, wonderful masterpiece that God is going to unveil by taking away your flesh, by rending the veil in two and moving the old part by the body of Jesus Christ, which is the infiltrated part that the worms get into. And God has raised us up, and today we're not in the earth, but we're in heaven, sitting together in the heavenly places, testifying of God. We are now not in the earth. God, having chosen us out of the earth, He's hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And so then He says, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. All of you that dwell in heaven, you should rejoice. Now if you don't dwell in heaven, I don't expect you to rejoice. But if you dwell in heaven, then God expects you to rejoice. The Bible says there's a continual joy and we should rejoice forevermore. What have I got to rejoice over? I rejoice over the fact that I've been born again. I rejoice over the fact that I cannot sin. I rejoice over the fact that I'm passed from death into life. I'm rejoicing over the fact that God has chosen me out of the world and put me into heaven and hidden me with Christ in God. I rejoiced over the fact that I am a son of God and I can never undo that. I can never be a non-son of God. I'll always be a son of God. When you're born as a son of God, and John said, "Now, beloved, you're the sons of God," you can never be a non-son of God. That is, you can't undo it no more than you can undo this life. You can't undo that life. And even this life is temporal. You could blow your brains out, you know, and end it here. But in the spirit, you can't blow your brains out because you can't sin. There ain't no brains to blow out. He that is born to the water and the flesh, he's water and flesh. That is, he's of this birth. He is blood. But that that's born to the spirit, you can't kill angels. Angels can't die. God alone has to destroy angels. You are a son of God. And the Bible said they that are counted for as those of the resurrection of those of the sons and daughters of God. The Bible said they are equal to the angels and cannot die. So then that's what I got to rejoice over. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? We've passed from death unto life. The Bible said we'll never come into condemnation. There is no spots and blemishes in our life. We are God's elect. We are God's prize. We're God's masterpiece. And so the temple of the tabernacle was open in heaven. The rending of the veil, the Christ stepped out. Revelation 12. The war in heaven. So then we see that this great wonderful thing has taken place. And I've kind of hurried through it tonight because I didn't think he'd want to sit long. I'd love to have took my time and not pushed and shoved. But some of you tired from the baptism and I know you weren't going to sit long. And a lot of things to say, a lot of things I didn't get to say that I would like to say concerning the temple of the tabernacle that was open in heaven. And there was lightnings and thunderings and voices. And the Bible said these great angels came forth to pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon all of the earth. Folks, that temple has been open. That temple has been open. And now the bumming of the thunderings and the lightnings and the earthquakes and all of the plagues are about to happen. It's been open. The wonderful tabernacle. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that when God rends the veil, rolls back the scroll, Revelation to a fifth seal, sixth chapter. When God rolls back the scroll, and you start hearing the very voice of God as to the knowledge of God, as to the revelation of Christ, as to the mysteries of the Lord, then that is the wonderful mind of Almighty God. That is that which Paul said is made known to the church, for now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to the heavenly places. So, in that it has come, then that means that is the coming of the Lord. For the kingdom of God shall not come by observation. It is within a man. It is a declaration. It is preached. It is a revelation. It is the great light of that great wonderful understanding that will completely eradicate and destroy all of the lifted up people in this world that esteems themselves to be great or to be dignitaries. God will completely do away with it. And the declaration is that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So then, just saying a few words tonight to exhort you. Whereas I'd really love to preach a message on that. But just saying a few words tonight to exhort you. I'd like for you to remember that things are happening. Even at the baptism, I tell you, they're happening. You that do not have eyes to see. Jesus spoke of it. The prophet spoke of it. Having eyes ye see not. That is, having eyes of understanding. You've got eyes natural that can't see spiritual things. Your eyes of understanding has been darkened by your intellectual reasoning of the prince of this world, even Lucifer. Gross darkness is covering the people, and the veil of death is falling over you. And only the children of light will know when it's nigh at the door. Only the children of light will see and understand, and the wicked shall not understand. And as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth.
But you're not children of darkness, but children of light, that that day should not take you. Don't let that day take you unawares, for you're children of light. There's no reason for that to happen. Ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. So then at the evening time there is light. Great light is spring up to them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. And even the day star, even the Lord Jesus, the bright of the morning star, is dawning within your heart to overcome. He said, I'll give you that revelation. I'll give you Jesus. I'll give you the bright of the morning star. And the day star shall dawn within your heart. So then as the wise men follow the star, if it dawns within your heart, follow the star. And you'll find where the Christ child lays. You'll find the place of the Christ child. As the day star dawns within your heart, as the morning star breaks, follow it. The bright, brilliant greatness of the mind of Christ, even the revelation of the Son of God. Follow it, and it'll take you to the Christ child. He alone dwells within the light. Christ, even Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the temple of the tabernacle was open. At last, it's coming out. Right out of the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. Right out of the hearts, and those seals are being opened. And right out of the hearts of the sons and daughters of God is coming the great mystery, the great understanding, the answer to all of the mysterious things that's never been answered before. These things that's been hid from the foundation of the world, all of a sudden they're beginning to come forth. They're rending the old intellectual veil of darkness, and they're coming out of the shale, and the scales is falling from the eyes of the people. And the wonderful knowledge of God, even the understanding from the heavenly places, is beginning to be projected through the life and the instrumentality of humanity, that is to say the church, the body of Christ, the tabernacle of God that's among men. Let's stand together. While we're standing together, I want you to think these things over. Many things that you would like to say. Jesus said, I would like to say many things to you. Seeing that we're dull of hearing, then the Lord can't say the many things he'd like to say to us. And often I kind of run through things real fast. I don't like to do that because these things go out over the airways, and it makes it very difficult for people there to understand. But I know that many of you are so impatient. The children crying, people disturbed, walking to and fro, can't sit still, hungry and want to get, you know, home for their jobs. They've got to get up early and just, their mind is just constantly rolling with rebellion and resistance and contrariness. To the extent that it makes it very difficult for God to speak. And we try to hurry along as fast as we can to work with you. You know, in Paul's day, they didn't do that. They just stayed all night in Paul's day. And that, of course, was the right way to do it. We sit and take our time when we go to eat. We sit at the cafe. We don't hurry. When we go on our job, we take all day long for working. When we go visiting and riding, we just ride for hours or sit and watch the TV. Go on with any kind of thing, reading the newspaper, working out in something, you know, whatever. But when it comes to God, we're all in a hurry. We're all busy. I got about 22 prayer clause here, and I usually seem to never get enough because people want these prayer clauses, and we get such wonderful reports from them. The Bible said that things like aprons and different things were sent out from Paul's body, and the Bible said that God wrought special miracles by those things. We've had such beautiful reports from prayer clause. Great miraculous things take place. I believe, folks, I'm sure you believe, or you wouldn't be here. But I believe with all of my heart, I believe the Word of God. I believe that I can ask something in His name and He'll do it.
I believe he'll grant it. If you'll work with me and believe, I believe he'll work with you. It's up to you. All right.
Let's just lift our hands up. Point your hands up in this direction. And believe with me tonight. The Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. And while we pray tonight, it could be your faith. It could be your prayer. It could be your believing that may work a miracle and heal somebody. Faith is not confined to male or female. It's not confined to age. It's just if you believe. If you believe. See, if you believe. And I want you to pray with me. I want you to believe with me. I'd like for Sister Dennis to get one of these to send to the people. We're going to pray for them as we pray for these claws and the different ones. Wish one could go up to Mom. But anyway, let's believe and let's ask God to do something. Will you do that with me? Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you in the lovely name of your darling Son Jesus, I feel the mighty anointing already before I ever ask. As I touch these prayer claws, I feel the faith of the people. I feel you healing. I feel diseases leaving, oh God. I feel the mighty hand of God here tonight. The great Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of Christ that's quickening our body, that raised up Jesus from the dead. I feel it going through the audience right now. As Peter said, I feel the Holy Ghost falling on the people as I speak, Father. May the great, wonderful Holy Ghost fall upon them. May they, oh God, receive of your great Spirit, and may this wonderful power of God go through their bodies and heal their bodies. All of them, Lord, that's here, all of them that hear my voice, all of them that's here in the audience, may God heal tonight. Oh God, may God heal this very day. And may God heal as we touch these prayer cloths. May God heal. I want you to heal, oh God. I feel this wave of the Spirit. I feel this moving of the Spirit. I feel the troubling of the waters going forth into the audience, God, to heal. I want you to heal diseases. Break the yokes. I believe, oh God, and I want you to break the yokes. And I want you to give me a good report. Father, heal cancer. Drive it back. That evil spirit of rebellion, drive it back. Dear God, those evil diseases that rebel against your word, God, we come against them. Those things I want to leave, Father, and turn the people loose. God, wherever my voice can be heard right now, I want those evil powers of rebellion, of sickness, Lord, of oppression, whatever it is, I want them to move back. I charge them in the name of Jesus to loose these people that are listening. Faith by the hearing of thy word. And oh God, thy word, send thy word and heal them. Make them well in the name of Jesus. Break those yokes. Satan, I adjure thee by God in the name of the Son of God, by his finished works and by his righteousness, to loose the people and turn them loose and get away from those people. I plead the blood over them, and I take their spirits and I take their lives into the control of Christ as to a protection by the Holy Spirit all the days of their life. I bind you, Lucifer, in the name of Jesus. I have the power and the authority to do it. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I cast you out of their lives, everyone, Father, that believes. And I fill the audience believing with me, Father. Oh, God, as Lucifer is cast out. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. I feel the yoke broken. I feel God doing something. I feel somebody's faith going up to God right now. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands. I believe somebody's getting delivered. I really believe that with all my heart. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, we accept that, Father. We believe that in the power of God tonight. We ask you to move by your Spirit in our midst. Oh God, let this great power, Lord, be throughout the world today. God, to heal and to save and forgive. And may revival spread all over the world, Father, from the faith of these believers right here in the name of Jesus. I feel people everywhere, Father, joining together in faith. I just feel it, Lord, in my spirit. God, to the delivering, oh God, through these people's prayers and faith. Hallelujah, in the wonderful name of Jesus. You love the Lord? Let's sing that little chorus, Every Promise in the Book. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line.
And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the love divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the grace divine. Every promise in God's book, it is thine. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the grace divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. One more time. Every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book, for every promise in God's book, it's mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in that book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. I want you to sing that with me again. I want to praise the Lord. Brother Mike Bradley is fixing to go around the world. He leaves tomorrow. He's going around the world, and Betty and I will be going around the world in a little bit. And during the time that Michael's there, there's going to be war in heaven. So then let's us just praise the Lord, and let's us sing it again. If you'd like to come to the altar, feel free to do so, but let's sing this song again, can we? For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Run, we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. Run, we're trusting in God's word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. You know what? Something is happening in heaven. I know you might not understand, but the prayer that you was praying just a little bit ago, the baptism today, the faith that went out, I'm satisfied Bill will probably use that prayer over WLAC or Caribbean Beacon or whatever. That was a prayer for all the world that you prayed a while ago. Michael's fixing to go around the world. You might not believe this, but from Bethlehem, revival is going to sweep around the world. It's because of your faith. The Bible said your faith being spoken out throughout the world is going to happen, folks. I want you to sing that with me again. I can tell it's happening right now. Your faith has gotten loose, and I can tell it's gone out like a great dove around the world. God has let it out. Let's sing that again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in God's word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Again. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because God said it, everything is going to work out. Everything is going to work out right. God's going to move. You're going to move with God. How many of you believe that? How are you going to move with God? Let me see your hand. We're going to move with God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. We're going to move with God. Can you say we're going to move with God? Come on, folks. We're going to move with God. Hallelujah. We're not going to be half-hearted, double-minded. We're going to move with God. Amen. Can you say it, sisters? We're going to move with God. You can do better than that. We're going to move with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not going to be double-minded, half-hearted. We're going to move with God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Something is happening. God is moving. Something is taking place. I can just feel it all around the world. I can feel it. You know what it is? The translation of the church. God is fixing to sweep around the world. The translation of the church. You better get in. While you can get in, you better get in. God is fixing to make his move. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. God is fixing to make his move. Hallelujah. God is fixing to stir the world. Hallelujah. And I want to be a part of it, don't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can tell you really believe that, and that's what's going to make it go. The fact that you do believe that is what's going to make it move. Faith. God wants faith. I can tell you got faith. Tell the sickness to get out of your body. Tell the sickness to get away from your body. Sickness is a rebellion against God. Sickness is a rebellion against the Word of God. Tell sickness to get out of your body. You don't need part of it. It's a rebellion against God's Word. The Bible said, by his stripes you're healed. Don't let the devil rebel against God's Word. And the Bible said not to let sickness remain in your mortal body. Hallelujah. You get rid of it. Just tell it, say, you ain't staying here. You ain't rebelling. If you're gonna peddle your dope, you ain't going to live in my house. Glory to God, you ain't going to rebel against the laws of my God. You're going to get out. You're going to leave. You're going to get away from here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Tell it to get back. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel the power of God. I feel God moving by Spirit. I can tell that something's taking place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song, I Looked Over Jordan, can we? Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, that band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. I get excited and this thing goes off and it goes off and it goes off. Let's try it again. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. How many of you believe that? Let me see your hand. Well, everything is gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came and he saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything gonna be all right. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime, love Him, oh let us love Him, love Him when the sun is going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down, oh, heaven has come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down on me. Oh, let us love of Him, love Him. Love Him in the morning, love Him at the noon. Time love Him. Oh, let us love Him. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us praise Him. Let us love Him. Love Him when the sun is going down. You really love Him? Let's sing this little chorus then. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail, and he didn't have no one to go his bail. But when the Lord got ready, they had to move. He had to move. He had to move. Ananias, oh Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh Ananias. Oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. He spoke to the lame, and the lame could walk. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. He spoke to the dumb, and the dumb could talk. Kind of a man Jesus is. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Hallelujah! Glory to God. What kind of man does Jesus? There's the man, the songwriter said, walking on the water, commanding the waters all because he believed. Somebody said, but that was Jesus. But Jesus said, come on, Peter. Hallelujah. Come on and show him it ain't just Jesus, that you can do it too, that all it takes is faith. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to leave tonight with a brand new faith in Christ? No more sickness. No more sickness. Amen. No more sickness. Glory to God, we don't need to be sick. We need to be praying for others to get sickness away from them. Come on, folks. No more sickness. He sent His word and healed them. Amen. Isn't that right, sisters? No more sickness. Come on, make a little fuss. No more sickness. Hallelujah. If you believe it, make a little fuss about it. Glory to God. The Bible said He sent His word and healed them. No more sickness. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We're supposed to be healing others. We're supposed to be delivering others. We're supposed to be helping others. Isn't that right? Glory to God, no more sickness. I believe you believe that. Don't you feel free from it? Don't you feel good all over? Hallelujah. I know you do because I do. Brother Taylor can't always stay on the bench. Let's lift our hands up and love him. God loves you tonight, folks. I'm going to ask Dale to make his way up here tonight and dismiss it if he will. God loves you. He loves you, folks. We're having a good time. Ain't you having a good time? Feeling free. Believe. Don't doubt. Believe. Jesus said, don't doubt. Believe. Glory to God. Just rejoice forevermore. Keep on praising God. Don't let that old mind of darkness, that old mind of sickness, that old mind of lying, that old mind of deception, that old mind of oppression, that old mind of threat, don't let it get in your life and in your thinking. Get rid of that thing. Say, Jesus said it. I believe it. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him another hand. That's the way it's going to be.